Thank you, and ladies and gentlemen, thank you for watching today. Will you turn in your Bible with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1? We're still talking about the cross, the preaching of the cross. And we want to continue with this thought today. I'd love to hear from you. If you listen to the program and you like what you hear, I would appreciate you writing to me, drop me a card or a letter or a call, or let me know that you watch the program, because I have no way of knowing unless I hear from you. Our aim in this broadcast is basically twofold. Our aim is to preach the gospel unto those which are lost and make it clear so that they can see that they need a Savior. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, in effect, he said, that his aim is to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. The mystery referred to there is the fact that Gentiles, such as we, that Gentiles are acceptable in the body of Christ by their faith in the finished work of Christ. The mystery, what? That Christ died for our sins. It was no mystery that Jesus Christ would be born. The Old Testament prophet knew where he would be born, the manner of his birth, the time of his birth. They knew about his ministry, the training of the disciples. They knew about Judas Iscariot. They knew that Judas would betray Jesus Christ. They knew that he would be rejected of the nation Israel. The Old Testament prophet knew that Jesus Christ would be crucified, that he would rise from the dead. They knew that he would send the Holy Spirit. They knew that he would come again and establish the kingdom. But they did not know why he died. They did not know the time between his death and his second coming. Those things were a mystery. Jesus began to reveal some of those things, as in Matthew chapter 13. And he began to relay some truth pertaining to this time, but he didn't tell about Paul's ministry. Paul was selected by God to carry the gospel message to the Gentiles. He said that I am the apostle to the Gentiles. He said I'm the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. He said I'm a teacher and a preacher of the Gentiles. And he said, my gospel is the power of God unto salvation. He's given the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God to save your soul. So we live in a time that was a mystery, and Paul's aim was to make all men, that is all men without distinction of race, creed, or color, make all men see the fellowship of this mystery. He said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. That is, Jesus Christ gave himself a ransom for all men without distinction of race, creed, color, or moral character. He gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. God would have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Jesus Christ died for all men without exception. There is no one in the world that can ever face God in a judgment and say, Jesus never died for me. Jesus died for all men, so that whosoever will can believe in Jesus, trusting that Christ paid for their sins at Calvary. So our aim is to make known the fellowship of this mystery. Make known that Jesus Christ died even for you. Doesn't make any difference who you are. Doesn't make any difference what color you are. It matters not what your moral character is, where you've been, or what you were doing while you were there. That is not the issue here. The issue here is that Jesus Christ is able to save anybody that will come unto God by him. If you believe in Christ, trusting that he paid for your sins at Calvary, was buried, and that God raised him from the dead, if you will believe that all your sins are paid for by his death, God will save you today. No, make no difference what kind of a person you are, God will save you. So our aim is to make this known to all men. Number two, our aim is to try to build Christian people up in the faith. Establish them in the truth. This truth we're referring to has to do with the doctrine committed to the Apostle Paul. Paul told Timothy, "The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses," Paul said to Timothy, "make known unto faithful men that they may teach others also." He identifies where this truth is. He identified where those things are in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. He calls it a form of sound words that thou hast heard of me. Well, I know then that Romans through Philemon is that form of sound words. I know Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles. I know that Paul was given the gospel of the Gentiles. So I know then that writings of Paul, Romans through Philemon, are directly to us. And so my aim is to try to build people up in the faith. Establish them, that they be not tossed about with every wind of doctrine. Illustration. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus refers to a judgment someplace that a man comes to. And this man, while in that judgment, tells the Lord about all the good stuff he'd done. He said, "I've cast out devils in my name. I've done many wonderful works." But the Lord says, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you." Well, then I know that an individual could do what people call good works and it not be of the Lord. The Lord wouldn't know that individual. He said, "Depart from me. I never knew you." And so people take that passage to try to prove to you can lose your salvation. But that's a dispensational issue. 2 Timothy 2:19, the Bible said, "The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Well, if the Lord knows you, then he sure cannot say at a judgment, "I never knew you." Therefore, I know that Matthew chapter 7 could not have been written to the same people that 2 Timothy 2:19 is written to. That's confusion, and God is not the author of confusion to say they're both the same. In Matthew chapter 7, the Lord says to a man in judgment, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you." But he says to the church, which is the body of Christ, in 2 Timothy 2:19, "The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his." If the Lord knows them that are his today, he can never in judgment say unto an individual, "I never knew you," if he didn't know it. So I realize that the passages contradict one another unless you rightly divide the word of truth. So our aim is to try to establish the Bible believer in the truth presented through Paul. The preaching of the cross. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. Paul said, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." The effectiveness of the cross of Christ has to do with the fact that God can save you by the work of the cross. The effect of the cross. What is the effect of the cross? God would have all men to be saved. There's none too bad. There's none too low. But what they could be saved by the cross. For an individual to be saved by the cross, they recognize how bad they are. They recognize what the cross is. What is the preaching of the cross? It's the recognition of Jesus Christ seen as a criminal. Jesus was understood to be a criminal. He was thought to be a criminal. He was thought to be a bad guy. And he was on the cross, a bad guy. God saw him as bad. Why? Because your sins were placed upon him. And God turned his back upon him because of your sins. So the preaching of the cross is effective to the individual that sees themselves as bad. How low can you get? Jesus Christ was seen as the lowest of the low. He was seen so low that God turned his back on him. All the good things that Jesus Christ had done in his earthly ministry counted for nothing as Jesus Christ hung on the cross. Why? God turned his back on him. The fact that Jesus was the virgin-born Son of God didn't count on the cross. The fact that he's the Lamb of God didn't count on the cross. The fact that Jesus Christ kept the commandments doesn't count. The fact that he was, he said, which of you convinced me of sin? None of those things caught God's favor. Why? He was made to be sin for us. He became at Calvary what we are by nature. He became on Calvary what we are by practice. And it was so effective that God turned his back on him, and Christ said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God turned his back upon his virgin-born, sinless Son of God because your sins were placed upon him. And God turned him over to the tormentors. He turned him over to the princes of this world, and they killed him. They crucified him. But God raised him from the dead. That's the preaching of the cross. In verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. You know, there are some people today that I talk to, and I read articles by people that are so concerned with their death to sin. They're so concerned with dying to sin that they don't have any time to live. They're always dying to some sin rather than living for the Lord. The Bible tells me in Romans chapter 6 that we ought to walk in newness of life. We ought to recognize that our crucifixion took place at Calvary. So there are some people today that are so occupied with crucifying the flesh, they have no time to live in the Spirit. That's all they ever do is crucify themselves. They believe that if they don't kill themselves, spiritually speaking, crucify themselves, mortify themselves daily, over and over and over again, they're going to hell. They're so preoccupied with their guilt complex that they have no time to walk in newness of life. They couldn't walk in newness of life if they tried. They're so preoccupied with keeping the commandments that they're unable to relax in God's grace. Anybody that's trying to keep the commandments to get to heaven is going to be guilty. If you're trying to keep the commandments to win God's favor, then you're constantly going to see yourself as a bad person, not as one saved by grace through faith. The preaching of the cross. What about the preaching of the cross? Number one, it's the medium of salvation to every believer. Verse 18, the preaching of the cross to them that perish foolishness, but unto which are saved is the power of God. Then the preaching of the cross is the medium of salvation to every believer. Number two, it's the method of reconciliation to the believer. Turn, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. There is no other method of reconciliation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and on and on. The preaching of the cross is God's method of reconciliation. That passage said God was in Christ, so that here's the cross. AD 33, God was in Christ. What was he doing? He was reconciling the world. Let's just say that here represents the world. All right, God was in Christ reconciling the world. God recognized the enmity of sinners And so he says in Romans chapter 5, when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He said, when we were ungodly, Christ died for us. He said, when we were enemies, Christ died for us. God was in Christ reconciling the world. So what did he do? He fixed it so that God Almighty can be friends with sinners to the extent that he can save them through Christ. To the ungodly and to enemies. The enemies of God were reconciled to God by the death of Christ at Calvary. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. The preaching of the cross is the only means of reconciliation. Number three, it's the only means of justification. God cannot justify you without the death. Death justifies your sins. There's no other way of paying for your sins. The wages of sin is death. To be justified from your sin, you got to die. There is no other method of justification. Notice in Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, notice in verse 24. Romans 3, verse 24. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The only method of justification is death, and the death of Christ is the only death that will suffice. Turn to Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, verse 18, therefore, as by the offense of one, a reference to Adam, by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men to justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Well, then there are two men involved there. There's Adam on the one side. There's Jesus Christ on the other side. Adam, back there in the garden, Adam committed one act. Jesus Christ at Calvary committed one act. Adam's one act was disobedience. Christ's one act is obedience. Adam disobeyed God. Christ obeyed God. Adam's disobedience is sin. Christ's obedience is righteousness. The disobedience of sin, or the sin of disobedience, through Adam brought death to every person ever born in this world. By one man's sin in the world, death by sin, death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. Why do men die? Because of sin. Sin is a nature. The one act of obedience of Christ brought righteousness, and through righteousness, life to every believer. Everyone that will believe in Jesus Christ, trusting that he died for their sins at Calvary, trusting the one act of death performed by Christ, which was through obedience to God, brought righteousness, his righteousness put to your account, and life through that means. The preaching of the cross is the medium of salvation. It's the only method of reconciliation. It's the only means of justification. You cannot be made just before God by keeping the law. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3 that through the law shall no flesh be justified in God's sight. He says in Galatians chapter 5 that those that are under the law are fallen from grace. If you're trying to be justified by keeping the commandments, you're fallen from grace. You're not in God's grace. You can't be in God's grace while you're working to gain his favor. The preaching of the cross, it's the only means of justification. Number four, its expression has to do with God's love. In fact, it makes God's love available. And its meaning, what does the cross mean? It means that God loved you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. What I find when I see the cross, I find the love of God. God turned his back upon his Son in my stead so that he wouldn't have to turn his back on me if I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. So, what I see in it, I see the expression of God Almighty's love. By grace, you're saved. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we're dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together, on and on and on. Do it again. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us even when we're dead in sins. God loved us when we were dead in sins. And proved that love in the fact that he delivered up his Son for us all. The one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. It's the expression of God Almighty's love. What does it mean? It means that God loved you and that God will save you if you'll believe in Jesus Christ. What if you try to work it out by keeping the law? Then you'll never experience the love of God. It cannot be. It's the medium of salvation. It's the only method of reconciliation. It's the only means of justification. Its meaning is an expression of God's love, and it makes available the perfect opportunity for the expressing of a man's free will. In other words, if the Bible said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, but at the same time, that man that believed in Jesus could not reject him, then that wouldn't be free will. God Almighty gave his Son at Calvary and then sent Paul to preach the gospel so you could believe. Come on, folks. If God Almighty predestinated you to salvation outside your free will, then he could have given Christ at Calvary to pay for your sins and saved you whether you believe or not. If God was just going to predestinate you to get saved whether you liked it or not, then God could have given his Son at Calvary and forgot about calling Paul and giving him Romans through Philemon. What sense would there be in giving Paul the gospel to preach to the world if God predestinated people out of the world to be saved, no matter? No. It makes available unto you the perfect opportunity to express your free will. How? By believing in Jesus Christ. Jesus said to some people, he said, you will not come to me that you might have life. I may be talking to somebody right now, and you will not come to Christ that you may have life. You will not believe in him. You will not humble yourself and put away all your good deeds and trust Christ and him only to save you. Paul said, if you've got something that you think you can brag about in the flesh, he said, I've got more. And he tells what they are. He tells that he's a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He said he's a Pharisee. He said concerning the righteousness which is in the law blameless. But he said, what things were gained to me I counted loss for Christ. He said, yea, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, all those good religious things that he bragged about. He said, the loss of all things, and count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my righteousness which is of the law, but that which is by faith of Christ. The perfect opportunity of expressing your free will. You have the will to stop trying to be a Christian. You have the will to stop working for your salvation. You have the freedom of will to believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior right now. Now, on the other hand, the Bible said that if our gospel be hid, is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. Oh, no, he didn't blind people so they couldn't believe. He blinded the minds of them that believe not. By their own free will, they chose not to believe in Jesus Christ, and therefore their eyes are blinded by religious works. I'm very well talking to somebody right now. Somebody, probably listen to me right now, that you believe since you joined the church and have been baptized or prayed through at the altar or got what you think is the baptism of the Holy Ghost and spoken to and on, you very well believe that since all those things happened to you, you're acceptable to God. But the real truth is, if you would admit it, you have never trusted Christ as your Savior. Oh, you believe in Him. You believe that He's the Son of God. You believe that He died at Calvary. But you've never put your salvation in His hands, so to speak, and trusted that if He didn't pay for all your sins, you'd have to end up in hell. It's your free will. It's your opportunity to express that by believing in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. It provides the only means of perfectly uniting the members of the body of Christ. Who is in the body of Christ? All those who by their own free will trust Christ as their Lord and Savior. Are you saved by grace through faith? It provides justification from God's wrath in the future. For those that believe. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. You can believe in Jesus as your Savior. You can trust Him as your Savior. You can come to God through Christ. Just deny yourself. Deny your ability. Deny your religious system. Deny your baptisms and all those things. Quit relying on them. And receive Christ, believing that He paid for your sins at Calvary. You can do it right now. Until next time, good day.